Thank you for joining us on this week's podcast, Your Expert Advantage, a higher level of management consulting. This podcast is produced by the Canadian Association of Management Consultants, CMC Canada. My name is James Grieve, and I am a certified management consultant, CMC out of BC and a member of CMC Canada. Our aim on this podcast is to provide management consultants with great thought leadership, case studies, and actionable info in conversational format that you'll be able to take back into the office and implement. And part of that, we'll be telling you some great stories from those who've earned their Certified Management Consultant designation and show you the value of CMC, the profession's only international certification recognized in over 40 countries. In this episode, we're focused on the 2022 industry report by CMC Canada, the association's latest study of management consulting industry in Canada. This study was undertaken by Nanos Research and was CMC's Canada's seventh report in a series that began in 2005. It's an important one for consultants to better understand the top trends affecting the future of their industry and for businesses using consultants as they go forward as well. And with us today is Nick Nanos, who led this initiative in support of CMC Canada. Nick leads Nanos Research, one of Canada's most distinguished research companies, which he founded in 1987. Nick is a leading corporate business strategist, conducting market and public opinion research and providing counsel to diverse organizations, including Fortune 500 companies and nonprofit groups. A data scientist, speaker, commentator, and author on economic, social, consumer, and business trends, he is highly sought after and a great resource for insight on the latest forces shaping the world.
Hello, my name is Ashka Work. I'm a CMC based in Victoria, the vice president of the CMC BC Institute, and the principal of Work Consulting. I'm thrilled to be co-hosting this podcast with James Grieve, and I'm looking forward to an insightful discussion with Nick Nanos about the 2022 CMC Industry Report.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Today, we're going to be talking about your great work that you've done for the Industry Research Report for CMC Canada. So first of all, Nick, thanks for supporting CMC Canada through your work on this report. It's certainly research that I encourage every consultant to have a look at, have a better understanding of the industry. So to get us kicked off here, Nick, how is our industry doing right now?
Well, you know what? The industry is growing, but the rate has slowed. And this is mainly for a lot of the larger firms in the sector. But, you know, the thing is that from our study of CMCs, it's pretty clear that the outlook is very positive for the industry, and they actually see some opportunities for growth, especially when it comes to newer and emerging services like IT, cybersecurity, change management, that kind of stuff. So overall positive, maybe not as bullish as it has been in the past, but moving in the right direction with some opportunities for sure.
Building on that, Nick, we have data from the report that the majority of CMCs expect the Canadian market for management consulting services to increase in 2022. How do you reconcile the different figures where it's slowing down, and then there's certainly the feeling that it's going to increase in the coming years? There's a bit of a disconnect there. How do you reconcile that?
Oh, there's no disconnect at all. There's really nothing to reconcile. It's kind of driving, you know, like you can drive at the speed limit, faster than the speed limit. You can be slowing down, but the reality is you're still pointing in a particular direction. And I think that's what we learned from the study. So perhaps the speed and velocity of what I'll say growth is not what we have seen in the past. But the reality is that people and CMCs still expect an increase, that they're optimistic about the future, and that it's still moving in the right direction. So think of it this way. It could be worse. If we're not going in reverse, how's that? And we're not idling nowhere. We're actually moving forward. Maybe some could argue that controlled growth, purposeful growth, is probably a little better than what I'll say fluctuations where things are accelerating quite quickly and decelerating. So why don't we call this the compound interest strategy of growth in the sector? That maybe it's not sexy, but you know what? Compound interest over time can really have a significant positive impact, especially when we think about the size of the sector and where it's going.
That's a really good point. And it'll be highlighted as we continue on in the podcast here with some of the aspects and the key findings we had in the report. So thanks for clarifying that. It makes a lot of sense. And that's a good foundation for us going forward with our questions and the discussion we're having here in the podcast.
There's a few things in you mentioned around areas of growth, and we'll dig into that a little bit in our questioning later as well, Nick. In the report, we see the trend of the disappearance of the mid-sized consulting firm, with most firms in the report identifying themselves as large consulting firms or small boutique firms. What do you think is causing this shift? And what's the impact of having that kind of divide between the size of and revenue generated by consulting firms in Canada?
Well, Ashka, you put your finger in a spotlight on what I thought was among the most interesting findings here. And, you know, we do studies in a lot of industries, and they're kind of like, for most industries, when we look at the size, a lot of times it's like a normal distribution curve, right? There are a lot of mid-sized players. There are some very extremely large players. And then there's the smaller size players in the industry. And what we're seeing is, as opposed to a normal distribution curve, is almost like an inverted, where there are, when we're looking at the revenue figures, that they're dominated either by very large firms or also very small firms. And I think a lot of this has to do with consolidation and in the sector. And that was mentioned as an emerging trend by a lot of the CMCs. And you know, with some large big firms and also some smaller firms, what we're seeing is a fragmentation. And I guess the big question is there a desire or appetite for clients to see medium-sized firms that could deliver what I'll say some of those boutique benefits, but then also have the capacity that some larger size firms have. And the other thing is, some of the CMCs mentioned the whole idea of new players coming into a crowded field. And you know, when we're talking about shifts, perhaps the need to cut prices. And I think that's something that's actually quite significant. And the whole idea of specialized services. So, you know, if clients are increasingly asking for specialized service offering, that means that they either have to go to a boutique or perhaps a large firm that might have a boutique within itself. So there are a lot of moving parts on this, but I think to your question, the existential issue is, what is the role of potential medium-sized firms? Because we're seeing, you know, large firms being very dominant and then a lot of small firms being in the marketplace.
Yeah. And as you were talking, I was thinking, given the timing that this particular survey was conducted, I wonder what the impact of some of the trends that we're hearing in the business community at large around, you know, the Great Resignation and people, you know, reevaluating where they're at in their connection with work. I wonder if that's had an impact on this, you know, this this trend of big firms and then these smaller independent consultants. Do you have anything that you're noticing on that front?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about this study is that, you know, we asked the respondents were asked to report on the previous year and then to also project to the future. But I think this is more about consolidation, because we see consolidation in a lot of other sectors. We've seen consolidation in the legal sector, for example. We also see consolidation in the technology sector. And the other thing is, you know, for, you know, our sector, which is basically knowledge workers, you know, not people that provide knowledge insight to organizations. I guess one of the questions is, you know, what's the exit strategy if you're a boutique firm? It's probably to be acquired by a large firm.
Right.
So, you know, to your point about the great resignation, maybe we should call it the great retirement. Perhaps there's like a cohort of CMCs, like those baby boomer CMCs that are at a particular point in their career where now they're thinking about their personal transition out And knowing that, you know, one of the options on that personal transition is actually to sell the practice or to transition to a larger firm.
Great. Thanks, Nick.
Nick, one notable remark that you made on the study when you presented the preview of it at the MC Catalyst conference is that we're not as diverse as we should be as a profession. And this speaks, you know, to what your previous comment there was about the great retirement and transitioning practices and that sort of thing. And we need to be transparent about that and how we're going to improve to, you know, make ourselves relevant to the next generation and the way things are changing in the world. So what are some concrete actions that consultants and consulting leaders listening to this podcast can take to help diversify the profession and improve upon this, these figures of lack of diversity in preparation now and then how we can for the next wave in the industry?
Yeah, I think there are a number of things that can be done. You know, the very first thing that can be done is to recognize that this is an issue and to not to be in denial. And you know what? Perhaps it's uncomfortable for some, but, you know, at least the survey was a good first step in putting a spotlight. You know, in the ideal world, industries reflect, you know, the diversity of the customers and the clients that they have, that, you know, professions like being a CMC is, you know, should be framed as something that is accessible and desirable for all, and that it's an exciting sector to be in. So I think, you know, the first concrete step is to basically say that there's an issue that needs to be addressed. And then the second, I think, concrete step is to start a dialogue on what needs to be done and to start to put a focus at least on diversity and inclusiveness in kind of the way we do things. You know, that said, we have to remember that, you know, and it might be, some people might not want to hear this, but, you know, if the objective is to have a strong, vibrant, and relevant profession and industry, that we really need to kind of reflect the country to one extent or the other. And that we need to start having that dialogue to see, are there potential obstacles or challenges for individuals to join the profession, for individuals to volunteer to be leaders in the profession and so forth? And what can we do to make it as welcoming an environment as possible? So there's no quick fix on this, I'd like to say. There's no quick fix at all. But I think the first step, I say that in terms of concrete steps, first, recognize that there's an issue. Second, start a dialogue. And third, incrementally start, you know, removing potential obstacles that might be in the way to having an industry and a profession that is as diverse as Canada is.
That's a very good point there. And I think that struck me particularly is when you said relevant. And I think that, you know, the landscape of business is changing. You know, the fabric of who is entering business, who is, you know, thankfully the change in who is leading organizations in order to be relevant to that, the consulting field should change as well. So the people who are consulting in and with those firms, you know, represent the diversity. So that's a really good way of approaching that. I agree with you. That's something that is really in need of change, and we are getting there. So it's great.
Nick, in the report, there's a section called the effects of challenges on leading industry practice. And one finding was related to the increased need to partner, consolidate, or network with other consultants. What other insights into this finding can you share?
Well, you know, the kind of interesting thing, the great thing about the CMC and our industry is that it is very agile, right? And, you know, the industry and the profession itself has everything from generalists to specialists. And I think this whole idea of partnering and consolidating with and networking with other consultants, I think, I believe, is a result of the increased need for specialization and the increased need to have more service offerings. And you know, I think the vibrancy of the profession and the sector has to do with the fact that it really embraces leading edge, the latest cutting edge solutions. And to do that, that means you've got to be engaged with other consultants and other types of individuals that are leaders in their sector. And you've got to be more collaborative, and you've got to look at consolidating in order to meet those needs. So, you know, I think this whole idea of partnering to deal with the challenges, I think it's actually a good news, because it means that you've got to stay sharp, that you can't just be in your own little silo and you know, do things the way you've always done them, that, you know, you should really make sure that you're engaged with kind of the broader community of practice and engaged with the latest ideas. And that might mean that you might need to network with other consultants, or you should be networking with other consultants and other knowledge professionals, and you should be looking at partnering and collaborating with them. And I think a lot of this has to do with the changing marketplace, but also the request for very bespoke and specialized solutions. So it's a challenge, but I think it's also an opportunity to keep the profession and the industry fresh and very relevant to the latest insights and value-added services that we can provide.
Mm-hmm, certainly. And I wonder if there's a way that we can, you know, we can take advantage of this trend toward this need for specialized bespoke expertise that you've been talking about and use it as a lever for diversity that you mentioned before.
100%. And, you know, this is where the CMC, all the different institutes across the country and CMC National actually have to lead by example and to be platforms for engaging, being transparent, and promoting networking. You know, it's interesting, Ashka, that, you know, you talk about different things, and, you know, whenever we do studies in other sectors, when we ask people what the obstacles are for not participating something, the first thing that comes up many times is, that is not for someone like me. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't see themselves. And I think perhaps that might be the very first barrier to take down, to have a narrative related to the CMC and the profession to say, you know what, this profession, has a diversity of skills within it, people with a diversity of skills, a diversity of backgrounds. And that's good. We are not a cookie cutter profession where everyone is the same or actually delivers the same value. But to your point, this is where, you know, CMC National and also all of the really important institutes that are doing their important work on the ground have to be a platform for this to happen.
Yes, I like that. CMC, there's a home for you here.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
You know, that's so great. And, you know, that speaks to so many things that, you know, Ashley, you just mentioned, CMC, there's a home for you here. For people who are entering the profession, even mid-career, you know, we talked about this, about being a great capstone designation for business leaders that could have a lot to share as mentors as well, and to complement other practices. Maybe they're easing out of working internally within an organization and can share their, you know, thoughts about their experiences and contribute great value to the profession, which I think is fantastic. And it's a perfect segue into, you know, the next thing I want to talk about here is recruiting consultants. So, you know, recruiting people who are already consulting, but, you know, hiring those people with expertise and also with university graduates. You know, there's great untapped potential, and mentoring goes both ways. So it's not just mentoring students, but I think students have a lot to learn, fresh ideas that they can bring in here. And in the report, you know, recruiting university graduates rank highly. And, you know, just to expand on last, you know, bit of dialogue that we had there and Ashka's question, partnering with other consulting firms on project-based work for better outcome for clients. And Nick, you mentioned, you know, thought of, you know, very specialized portions of this which add value. But what are your thoughts on partnering with other consultants and other consulting firms with the thought to provide the best outcome for the client.
Yeah, well, that has to be front and center. Because let's face it, the profession and the industry will only be judged or primarily be judged by the outcomes and the value that it can deliver to clients. And, you know, I think when I was looking at the data related to hiring consultants with expertise and recruiting university graduates, you know, to pick up on one of the things that Ashka and I were just talking about, you know, maybe another part of the narrative is everyone has a different journey to enter the profession. Part of that journey could be coming straight in, you know, for you to do your executive MBA and to go straight in to be a management consultant, or, you know, to come out of university and go straight into a firm. Another one could be, you know, late bloomers. And I'd like to say, full disclosure, I'm a late entrant into the CMC world, and I came across it by accident because I had some friends that were CMC and they were talking about the designation in the industry and the work that they were doing. And then I'd realize, hey, I didn't even know it, but I'm a CMC because I'm doing a lot of those things and I have a lot of those same interests. And, you know, for our firm, which is kind of a data-based kind of, you know, very data-oriented research firm, whenever we partner with CMCs, it'd be like, you know, these are my people. I could be like, we're talking the same language. We're, you know, dealing with kind of collaborations and networking. We're looking at what are the latest ideas. We have a very strong commitment to standards and ethics, and we have a learning culture. And, you know, I just think that, you know, when we're looking at partnering with other consulting firms, I think we have to also look at those other firms and to educate them to say, you know what? You might know it, but you're a CMC. You're actually part of our sector. Why aren't you part? Why don't you have the designation? Why isn't your firm more engaged with the sector? Because there are a lot of benefits there. And I think that's one of the things that I think one of the big benefits and strengths of the industry and the sector has to be kind of that collaborativeness, the openness to partnering, focusing more on outcomes, client outcomes, than on process.
I couldn't agree more. And one of the things that, you know, the pandemic was terrible in so many ways, but one of the benefits of the pandemic is, I can speak firsthand on this, and I'm sure Ashka can as well, is that it gave us the opportunity to collaborate with people across the country who are CMCs and also who weren't CMCs or maybe becoming CMCs that we wouldn't have had before. So it kind of forced us to collaborate. And what we discovered, my experience, is that, wow, we can work together. This is seamless. And, you know, there are ways that we can, you know, coordinate our efforts to provide this value for clients. And the CMC network, I think, is one of the greatest benefits of being a part of this profession. And we certainly encourage other people to come into it as well, because I think collectively we're stronger than we are trying to figure this out on our own. You know, supporting small firms, I have a small firm, and but having that support from other consultants as well, and then being able to pick up the phone and have access to people who can really provide insights and that expertise, wonderful. So hit the nail on the head there for sure. And the fact that, you know, there's a strong, you know, move towards getting students involved in this as well, and there's being a path forward from this, which I think is really strong too. Fabulous.
Great. One of the things that we noticed in the report as well, Nick, was around some of the things you've already been talking about, the specialization, bespoke expert services. What did you notice in terms of areas of specialization that are emerging or that are at the forefront in the work that you did?
Well, you know, I think the thing that really popped for me is that it's very clear from a research perspective that our industry and CMCs are really at the forefront of all the really big issues that enterprises and organizations are dealing with. And, you know, for the pandemic, it would be everything from like technology and kind of technology enabled solutions in kind of a changing workplace through to opportunities on environmental, social, and governance. And diversity, equity, and inclusion, and preparing organizations for the things, you know, putting a spotlight, you know, we talked about the industry and the profession putting a spotlight on itself. But the reality is that, you know, that same type of spotlight, there are organizations large and small right across the country and around the world that are dealing with ESG and diversity, equity, and inclusion, and what I'll say technology disruption as kind of the whole ideas of specialization that really there's a significant demand on. And, you know, when it comes to kind of some of the skills and stuff like that, you know, things like IT, not a big surprise. AI, I think, came up a bit. Skills related to privacy and cybersecurity were seen as big opportunities in the next 3 years. And I think part of this has to do with an increased focus by a lot of organizations on organizational and technological resilience. And you know what this means is that as a sector, we have to constantly be educating and reskilling ourselves in order to be flexible to meet a lot of these emerging opportunities and services that are offered and services that are basically in demand that I think will continue to be in demand at least for the medium term, like immediately, but also into the mid and longer terms.
Mm-hmm. And I think as a CMC community, we're very comfortable in ambiguity. We are agile, we're flexible. So I think we're set up for success on transitioning through this change.
Absolutely.
Keeping on that theme of change here, key aspect of any industry is change. In the report, Nick, you identified key drivers of change, with aging and retirement being at the forefront. Now, we mentioned this earlier in the podcast, and we'll elaborate on it here, but can you provide more insight on how this will impact the consulting industry and what consultants can do to prepare for this change? And as you referred to earlier, the great retirement.
Yeah, we weren't joking, but we were kind of laughing a little bit about the boomers, right? What are the boomers going to do? But, you know, I think we have to look at a lot of these big demographic drivers of change in our society. And, you know, they basically apply to our profession and our industry. What does that mean? And what do we need to do to prepare? Well, we need to have increased efforts on recruitment. We need to focus on retention. And, you know, we've seen, at least in the marketplace, that, you know, that with remote work, that sometimes there's just been a little more turnover in some instances because of remote work and people thinking that and believing and being able to take advantage of different opportunities. I also think the one thing that we can do to prepare for this change is to continue to remain agile and flexible and look at partnerships and collaborations as potential solutions. And, you know, the CMCs, and, you know, to the point that was made before about, you know, how did the environment kind of shape the responses? One of the recommendations for preparing for change was this whole idea of embracing remote work. It was mentioned by a number of survey respondents. And, you know, I think that's still, I think everyone's still trying to figure out what this sweet spot is in this new hybrid work environment. And then also, what does hybrid work mean for and telework? What does it mean in terms of teams? You know, and we'll call it the olden days. Sadly, I was part of the olden days, but you know, the olden days would be like, okay, so everybody's in the office. And if you're remote working, you're probably an exception depending on the type of job that you had. If geography is being taken out of the equation, it means that, you know, if there are an increasing part of the workforce in our industry that will be remote working partially or all of the time, that means that we have to rethink previous strategies on recruitment and retention and maybe even rethink what we mean about collaboration and perhaps even be more ecumenical on stuff like that.
No, that's fantastic. Thanks. That provides good insights for people looking for that change. And it's such an important topic and you know, filling that void coming through and looking at how to keep the continuity for clients going as these consultants transition their careers and retire, so there's not a void in the market of great expertise that can be in place for the business community.
I think there's quite a bit of really really insightful information and data and insights in this report. What particular or what stood out for you or what might have surprised you in the results?
Well, there is one thing that surprised me, and Ashka, I haven't decided how I feel about the surprise. How's that? I don't know whether the surprise is good or bad. I'm still kind of processing it, and it has to do with the profile of the industry having very large players and then what also I'll call boutiques. It's kind of living in a world of a world. And, you know, we say this, at least from a political perspective, that is not desirable, where there are like super rich and then small players, right? It would be kind of like, there's nothing in between. And I think the one thing that surprised me was that there wasn't more of a voice or a role or a presence of mid-sized firms, kind of like the Reese's Pieces, where, like I said before, can provide boutique, bespoke customer service, but then has more capability than a highly focused expert. And I think that was a bit of a surprise, because what it to me means is that, you know, you'd think that in the normal evolution of any kind of industry that you'd start off as why don't I just use myself as an example? I started off as a sole practitioner, right? Mm-hmm. Because I started the company and it was just me. I'm a sole practitioner, and I was basically a consultant. And then I went from being a sole practitioner to having colleagues, and then we move up the food chain, right? To be from a sole practitioner to something that might be a little larger and mid-size. And then the whole idea is that there's a continuum. I think the one thing that surprised me is that, at least in this piece of research, we didn't see anything that suggested there's a continuum from being a sole practitioner up to being a large agency that, you know, like I said before, it's like people, it's like the middle is skipped. Like there's no middle class in the data or that normal distribution curve, where there'd be a lot of mid-sized players that could both be competitive with very big players, but also provide services that would be competitive with more specialized smaller players. And I think, so I found that kind of surprising and interesting. And I don't know whether that's good or bad. And I think it's almost like an existential question. But that surprised me, the lack of a presence of significant presence of mid-size players, because you'd think just off the top of your head that would be a bit of a sweet spot, but it looks like maybe it's not. Maybe the industry is so dynamic and flexible that we have like super focused experts, and then kind of the larger firms, which are the one-stop shop.
Well, and I wonder, just picking off that last thread of yours, there's, from my experience, especially within the CMC community, we're really good at coming together organically to form mid-sized firms, if you will, right? Yep. Depending on what the needs of the client are, to come together, to pull out those, pull together teams versus, legal structures of mid-sized firms.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. So here's a question. It's kind of like going from dating to having a relationship, right? You kind of like, okay, well, let's date and have a team, collaborate on a project and have some fun and stuff like that. And then, I don't know, maybe they just don't want to go to the next step of to say, let's have a real long-term relationship that we can count on in order to form up. But I think you've talked about kind of, you know, obviously our willingness to form these collaborations that in effect would be mid-size firm teams that could compete with larger players, but maybe we like the flexibility. How's that? Maybe we should be doing like a psychographic analysis of CMCs. Maybe they just can't make that legal commitment, but are happy to collaborate in order to keep work exciting. But I think this is a bit off topic for me.
Yeah, well, it's in service to clients too, right? So I think that it's kind of cool to come together with depending on what the needs of a client are versus what you just happen to have in your stable in-house.
Yep.
I'm going to build on that too, and this is a really great dialogue here, is that maybe there needs to be a paradigm shift in the business model that people think is, you know, a consulting firm, right? So I mean, there's this preconceived notion when people get into it that, you know, they have to be a specialist on their own or join a larger firm. And you're right, that void in the middle is there. And as Ashka alluded to there, CMCs are really good at coming together. And, you know, perhaps there's really some disruptors in models here with even, you know, consulting co-op or, you know, different fractional ownership or whatever the case may be. So worth exploring on a future podcast for sure to talk about, you know, business models of consulting, that type of thing. But this is a great start and a spark, and hopefully it's got people thinking who are listening to the podcast on you know, different types of approaches for pursuing the practice and transitioning going forward. So Nick, I have asked a question here. For those who haven't had a chance to read the full report yet, and it's fantastic, lots of great information in there. What are the greatest opportunities for consultants in the next few years when it comes to market areas to focus on?
Well, a lot of the top things that were mentioned included information technology, privacy, cybersecurity, corporate business strategy, change management, environmental social governance issues, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'd always kind of say that, you know, when we look at a lot of these opportunities, some of them, and why don't we go back to the analogy that we made at the beginning about the pace of change, or I'll call it the velocity of growth, that, you know, some of these opportunities are more high velocity opportunities in the short term. Others might not be as exciting. And I'm not going to mention them because then I'll start getting like hate mails from CMCs who believe that these things are riveting and thrilling. So I won't mention any opportunities that don't score as high. But the reality is that a lot of these opportunities are more kind of steady background, a backbone kind of foundational things that need to be done every year. They might not be as project oriented. Compared to, for example, transformational management, but there's a lot of opportunities. But it looks at least like the top two from the study had more of a technology bent in terms of IT advisory services and privacy. And you know, the other thing is you know, we talk about when this was done. You know, the fact that there's been you know, there's a new privacy regime that's emerging in Europe. The fact that the federal government in Canada is introducing privacy legislation might also speak to the fact that privacy and cybersecurity tended to rank a little higher in this go, just because we know that there are legislative and regulatory changes and changes to the business environment that are taking place, and CMCs are seeing this as an opportunity for their services and a demand for their services, because of the impending changes in the privacy and cybersecurity area.
Thank you.
A really specific question here, Nick, as we're round out or coming to the end of our time together today. We are all experiencing the impact of inflation on our economy. What are you noticing as the impact of inflation on the management consulting industry?
Well, I'm sure all members of our industry are feeling cross-pressured. And when I say cross-pressured, so there's inflation on the one hand, which means there's a rising cost of inputs, right? Rising cost of labor, as there's a very competitive workplace and prices on a lot of things are going up. At the same time, we're not in a really booming economic cycle where, you know, it's where it's gangbusters out there, and people are worried. Many people are worried about a potential recession that could take place, at least in the short and medium term, not in the long term, but something short. And we don't know what that's going to be like. So, you know, I'd say when it comes to rates, that many folks in the industry feel cross-pressured to, you know, hold on to revenue, but then at the same time, not have their margins eaten into because they're absorbing the rising cost of inflation. So, I think it's going to be a difficult time to, it's going to be a difficult time to price. And, you know, the other thing, Ashka, is that what was clear is that there's a diversity of billing models that are out there and that are used by our sector, everything from kind of retainer to hourly and stuff like that, that there's not really a dominant way to bill. And, you know, maybe that's good because it means that we can be agile as a sector in order to meet the needs of clients. But I think it's going to be a tough time to sort through your billing strategy on stuff.
Yeah, great. Thanks for that. Yes, and there's a whole podcast in there in itself on billing strategies. That's for another day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Nick, this has been wonderful. And thanks for your time here today. I think it's a lot of great value that people will get from listening to the podcast. But before we let you go, one question I have for you is, if anybody had any, first of all, where do people access the report? Because I think there's great access, you know, great value in accessing the report. So is there any way you can direct people listening to this podcast of where they can obtain a copy of the report?
Well, to get a copy of the report, please contact CMC National. Go to the website and you can make an inquiry. There's some parts of the report, like on a high level basis, is available in the public domain. But why don't we say all the juicy and best bits are for either CMC members or folks that have paid a very modest fee to have a copy of the report. And that, and I just like to say, you know, we donated the research study, so I don't benefit from this because this is our contribution to the sector. But you know, any fees that are paid towards the report go to the CMC and help support the profession and the industry and the good work that's done right across the country.
Fantastic. And if anybody listening, we do have a wide listenership, thankfully, on this. And thank you, everybody, for listening. If they'd like to commission a report for their industry or for their clients, you know, and they would look for a top-tier research firm, which we've got you here, what's the best way to reach out to you and your firm so that they can be in touch and discuss the possibility of having some research done by a group professional?
James, you're killing me, man. I just said that I did this for free. Now you're telling other people to contact me to do their industry reports for free? Like, come on.
Not for free. If they want full value.
I'd like to say...
You're the one for CMC for
that
free.
I'm a CMC, and the CMC is very special to me. So, anyways, it's on a different level. But we're consultants and analysts and researchers like many of our colleagues, so... Best way to reach me is to send me an email, nick@nanos.co, and be happy to chat. But that's basically it. So how's that?
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Ashley, any parting sentiments for our guest today?
No, I'm good with my questions. Thanks, James.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for listening to our podcast brought to you by CMC Canada. CMC Canada ministers and its provincial institutes confer the Certified Management Consultant designation in Canada. And the CMC designation is the profession's only international certification recognized in over 40 countries. You can learn more about what it takes to earn your CMC and all the benefits that come along with joining CMC Canada on our website, cmc-canada.ca. If you're a fan of the show and love this podcast, tell someone about us or leave us a rating on Apple Podcast Store. Thank you all for joining and listening to us today, and we will see you next time.